Mornings with Deborah Cameron.
Well, as we've been saying this morning, it's a big day in Sydney today, with Lachlan Murdoch and James Packer having put forward a $3.3 billion takeover of Consolidated Media Holdings. Stephen Mayne, who's the founder of Crikey.com.au and a very close watcher of the Murdoch empire, is with us for our weekly look at the business world. It's great timing, Stephen.
It is, Deborah. Look, just an amazing story if you consider all the history between the Murdochs and the Packers, and Australia's two most famous, richest and most powerful families doing their biggest ever deal together, carving up some trophy assets between them, and the oldest sons of the third generations are doing a very, very big deal together. So it's exciting stuff.
Well, I had to smile this morning because, of course, in medieval times they would have found a likely lass among the assembled clans and married them off together and made a merger that way. But here today we do it all, between the boys and with a lot of money.
Yes, well, $3.3 billion of it. So, and it's fair to say that Lachlan Murdoch hasn't got that sort of money.
Where's he getting it from?
Well, when he left News Corp's executive position 2.5 years ago, he got a $10 million payout. He'd been earning about $10 million a year. And then Rupert gave each of his six children $100 million US worth of non-voting shares in News Corp last year as part of a deal where they gave a slightly bigger share of the inheritance to his youngest daughters with Wendy Deng. But Lachlan's arguably got 120, 150 million between him, but he has to come up with $1.5 billion here. So he's actually received some backing from a San Francisco-based private equity firm called SBO. And it's not clear how much they're putting in. And I still have to say, I wonder whether there's a little bit of support from Dad, a little bit of financing coming in from Dad, because it is a huge amount of money. And would a private equity firm really back one young chap with not that much money putting up $1.5 billion in this sort of market, with the market's really nervous? So love to see some more detail on the actual financing of all these deals.
Well, Rupert Murdoch would be a very handy guarantor.
Well, he would be. I mean, Rupert is worth about $8 billion, and James Packer's about the same. So they're both worth about $8 billion. And what really got people wondering was on November the 15th last year, Rupert Murdoch sold $354 million US worth of non-voting shares on the market. Now, he never sells shares unless he's paying out his sisters, which he paid his sisters about $600 million over the years, or he's doing some other investment within the family. So all of a sudden, on November 15, he sold $354 million worth of shares, and no one could work out why. So it would be interesting to know whether there is any support or guarantees coming to Lachlan. And I guess the other interesting thing is that whether James Packer is in any way assisting in the financing or the arrangements. It's interesting that the ANZ Bank is the banker to the deal, and they are ANZ Bank is traditionally the Packer family banker. They're very close to the Packers, and they're putting up $800 million as part of the bank debt that will support this deal. So, but it's certainly a paddock for Lachlan to run in. He's back in the main game, and if he does a great job being the executive chairman of these media assets, then who knows? He could one day cut himself back into the succession equation at the broader News Corp empire.
Now, isn't Lachlan Murdoch still on the board of News Corporation?
He is. There are some very interesting governance, corporate governance type questions here. And that's one of the key ones, is that Lachlan has been a non-executive director of News Corp for the last 2.5 years since he departed, and he's told the News Limited papers today that he will be staying on in that position. And I have to admit, my personal view on that is that that's untenable, that he'll be competing with News Corporation in the Australian market. I mean, he'll now have an interest in 9MSN, and 9MSN goes head-to-head and aggressive competitors with all the News Limited websites. There's a range of other sort of areas where their businesses will overlap to some degree. So I'm very surprised that he's trying to stay on the News Corp board whilst portraying this contract or this deal as very much his own deal. He's quoted in the press today saying, "This has got nothing to do with News Corp. This is me going my own way." Well, if that's the case, then surely you should leave the News Corp board and really go your own way and actually prove that you're totally disinterested from your father's company. And the other really interesting thing is that this deal couldn't have happened without News Corporation's blessing, because there are some preemptive rights within some of the assets, particularly Premier Sports, which is the Fox Sports business, which does all the pay TV sports programming in Australia. Now, for Rupert Murdoch to approve a third party to come in like that, he had some preemptive rights in that contract, and he has clearly given this deal his blessing by not exercising those preemptive rights. So I think it's interesting how some of the detail will pan out.
Well, if you investigate the detail and what you find is more Murdoch pervasiveness in our media landscape, what might the regulators think about that?
Well, it was interesting that the Labor Party didn't actually put up a media policy during the election, a media ownership policy. And, I mean, in terms of the Murdoch family, well, clearly this is a substantial step forward in Murdoch family control. The Murdoch family now has 25% interest in Australia's biggest magazine stable, and, of course, News Limited, News Corp itself, has quite a handy magazine stable of their own in Australia. They also have a foothold on 12.5% of Channel 9, and, of course, they have a stake in Foxtel. So if I was the regulator, if I was Graeme Samuel, I was the Labor government, and I was interested in media diversity and not having too much concentration of ownership, I'd be having a pretty thorough investigation into this deal. And things like Lachlan staying on the News Corp board, Rupert waiving the preemptive rights, things like that, I think is interesting. And I think we do also deserve to know whether there is any financial support coming from the Murdoch family, not from News Corp, but from the Murdoch family, to support Lachlan in what he's doing here.
Well, it's interesting to see Rupert Murdoch ride right across the horizon towards Kevin Rudd within days of the man turning up in Canberra to start work. He doesn't shy away from the big moment, Rupert Murdoch and his family.
No, well, I think they're the past masters at working governments and being close to whoever's in power and doing deals with them. So that is interesting. I mean, Kevin Rudd and Rupert had a fairly well publicised dinners together in New York when Kevin Rudd was visiting, and so it will be interesting to see what the Labor Party comes out and says about this. I mean, I think that probably ACMA, the media regulator, ought to have a good look at this sort of deal, just like the way ACMA's predecessor body had an investigation, the Australian Broadcasting Authority had an investigation into Brian Powers, who was Kerry Packer's number one executive, moving over to Fairfax and becoming the chairman of Fairfax and having a financial interest. So there's a precedent where these things get investigated. And I must admit, the other fact which has just staggered me was that the Murdoch papers again have reported today that Lachlan was advised by Mark Burrows. He was the investment banker who was advising on this deal. And Mark Burrows is a director of Fairfax. Mm. I mean, I just find that amazing. How can a director of Fairfax go off and advise Lachlan Murdoch on his big deal with James Packer? It seems a very strange one. So maybe that's one to be raised at the next Fairfax AGM about what one of their directors is doing, organising deals between their two biggest competitors.
Now, we have to look at the Packer side of this coin. What are we to make of, what does it say about James Packer's future? What's his main game here? What's he up to?
Well, I think you have to appreciate that James hates publicity. He doesn't like the media scrutiny, so I think he'll enjoy the fact that he's taking his media assets private. He won't have to front any more media company AGMs and answer questions. And he's also taking $250 million off the table here, because he's receiving $1.2 billion in cash as part of this deal and only having to reinvest another just under $1 billion. So it actually is a minor contraction of his media interests in total. Interestingly, he emerges with a personal 10% stake in Seek.com. So at the moment, Consolidated Media Holdings owns 37% of Seek, which is Australia's dominant online jobs classified business, worth about $2.5 billion. So they recognise that Lachlan Murdoch couldn't have an interest in that, because it is fundamentally competing with Career One and News Limited. So interestingly, Lachlan doesn't get a slice of Seek, but James gets to keep 10% personally and remain the largest shareholder. And I guess in taking $250 million off the table, it gives him more cash to plough into casinos, which is seemingly his big love, and he literally is pouring billions of dollars into growing his casino empire around the world.
Well, tell me a bit more about that. Do you really, and that was the same analysis, I think, in our news bulletin, the feeling was also that this was a concentration of his interest in those casinos. You know, this is a well, obviously they make a huge amount of money, enormous amount of turnover, great big future. He's got big plans. Do you really think that that is the main thing that he's now going to concentrate on? He has other interests as well.
Oh, well, he does. He's going big into financial or funds management. So he's got a stake worth $430 million in Challenger Financial Group, which is actually getting crunched in the current credit meltdown. He's got a stake in the listed Gold Coast developer Sunland worth $140 million. He's actually got a large number of other private investments. He does rather see himself as a bit of a private equity investor himself. There are literally dozens of often little-known businesses that he has stakes in. And, of course, there's also a hedge fund called Elliston Gems, which he runs as well, which manages, I think, $600 or $700 million. So the picture for James, I think, is retreating from the media, but retaining options to buy back in down the track if he wants. I mean, the private equity firm CVC, which controls 75% of Channel 9 and the magazine empire ACP, if they want to sell out, they have to first offer a deal to James Packer and now Lachlan Murdoch, it seems. So there is a prospect he might repeat his father's famous deal with Channel 9, where he sold to Talon Bond for $1 billion and then bought it back for about half that a few years later. But I think the other thing that's driving him here is with the whole casino push, is he knows how much his father lost at the casino table. He knows that literally hundreds of millions of dollars went down the tube playing casinos. And it's a mug's game from that side of the table. And I think in some sense he's motivated by, I want to sort of show my father that the real way to play casinos is actually to own the house, not to take on the house. And I think, you know, in terms of sentimentality, he's not a gambler himself, James, but he is pushing into the casino business. And in terms of why is he doing it, I mean, it's an awful way to make a buck, if you ask me, but why is he doing it? I've heard a couple of people sort of theorise that that he wants to show his father that, you know, or make some of the money back that his father lost in casinos, and thus far he's been very successful with that.
I'm talking to Stephen Main, who's a shareholder activist and the founder of crikey.com.au. And speaking of casinos, Stephen, the stock market, it's in meltdown. Now, you must be following this as someone who's got an interest.
Well, I am, Deborah. I've actually bought another 100 stocks in the last 12 days myself, and just $500 in each, very, very small investments. And yes, I'm losing my shirt like everyone else at the moment. I mean, the Australian market's off $190 billion in the last 12 sessions, and it's going to be another bad day today because the European markets, I mean, the UK was down 5.5%, the French 6%, the German 7%, the futures market in the US are showing that Wall Street will be sharply down today. So there's no doubt we'll be down by 2 to 4% today, which will bring the retreat from the peaks of November 1 last year to more than 20%. So this is a shock and awe. We haven't seen a sort of loss of 12 in a row like this since in 25 years. And it seems bizarre almost that Kevin Rudd is talking about fighting inflation and producing big budget surpluses. I mean, inflation is almost yesterday's story. We're talking about the things he's got to talk about now is a global credit crunch. Companies like Centro and MFS and Allco, anyone with too much gearing, just dropping like flies on the market. And Australia's fundamental problems of having $600 billion of foreign debt, and that foreign debt is popping up all over the place in companies that are dropping like flies, and a broader market which is getting crunched. So I haven't seen a market like this in years. It's a real bear market, and literally tens of billions of dollars are being wiped off the collective wealth of Australia through that $1 trillion of super, which is suddenly $100 billion less in the last few days. So hold on to your hats, Deborah.
I know. Maybe the annual story about the scale of the bonuses that some of these investment bankers dole out to themselves might not be one that we have to worry about this year.
Well, I think that it is the financial engineers more than anyone else who are copping it. I mean, Centro was Australia's second biggest shopping centre company and had an incredibly complex structure, very hard to understand, very opaque, a whole lot of financial engineering around what is usually a pretty simple business, as in the hotel business. And then you've got MFS, which is Australia's second biggest hotels business. They've got 15,000 beds that they control, the Pepper's chain, they own Harvey World Travel, they even own Port Douglas Mirage. So, just like Christopher Skase, anyone who owns the Port Douglas Mirage seems to hit the wall, just like has occurred with MFS. And once again, it's too much complexity and too much debt. And of course, most famously for Sydney, David Coe, who's one of the biggest beneficiaries of the arts in Sydney, so reputedly worth $300 or $400 million, was the mastermind of the Qantas privatisation deal through Orco Finance Group, and his shares plunged 35% yesterday. Orco Finance down $1.70 to $3.10, and there's now big question marks about whether its long-term survival, given it's a very complex, heavily indebted structure. So it's just there's blood on the streets. It's an incredible situation, and it's just a really bad news flow. That every day there seems to be more bad news coming out, and the really big fear in the global market is that the mortgage insurers or the bond insurers are going to collapse themselves, and if that happens, then we'll see a real meltdown. Because if you can't get insurance on your debt instruments, on your bonds, then you're in serious trouble. So that's the current debate.
That's great. Thank you very, very much for joining me, Stephen. It was great, and we'll look forward to hearing you again in a couple of weeks.
Thanks, Deb.